Hey, all of you, I think we should, in this marathon, amazing event, I think we should all give ourselves a hand for being here, for listening to this very, very difficult, wonderful material. It's amazing that you're all here. I'm particularly excited, if any of you heard my talk yesterday morning about this session, because we've heard a lot about the problems, we've heard a lot about the potential collapse of the capital system, the collapse at the end of the age of extraction. We've seen tremendous contradictions that make techno-utopia sort of a joke. But what about going forward? What about the ideas, the visions we need, the narratives we need, the understanding we need to go forward? And that's what this panel is about. And I think it's very exciting. And it focuses on one of my favorite subjects that I've written on, something called sound economics, about economic ecology, as I call it, or ecological economics. We have some of the really best thinkers in the world here to talk to you today about this really exciting new way of thinking about how we can go forward. Our first speaker is Bruce Knoxon. He's the assistant professor at the California Institute for Integral Studies, where he got his master's. He teaches, get this, philosophy, cosmology, and consciousness. Wow. And that's his expertise. He also got a master's in economics at Stanford University, where I believe one of his teachers was Ben Bernanke. Right, so maybe he'll give us one Ben Bernanke story before he leaves the podium. He's a couple of free articles he's written recently. Is Rethinking Economics with Bioregional Values, and that's so important, the whole bioregional concept. And then another which really interests me, which is opening our hearts to the Ecozoic Era. If you're not familiar with that term, Ecozoic Era, it really comes from a couple of great thinkers, one who I'm very, very close with, the late Thomas Berry, and I think that Bruce is going to be quoting Thomas. Thomas was my teacher. I'm a great personal friend, and I recommend to everybody, if you take one thing back what I've said at this conference so far, please get a book called The Great Work of Father Thomas Berry, because I think it's probably the best summary I have of the book that's ahead of all of us. Everybody, please welcome Bruce Knoxon.
Rigid and falsely strong foundations.
Our big mistake is thinking that the capitalism itself is inevitable and derived from the laws of nature. In a speech given at Occupy Wall Street, not too far from here, in October 2011, Slovenian philosopher Slavoj Zajac said, "It is easy to imagine the end of the world, an asteroid destroying all life and so on, but you cannot imagine the end of capitalism." Society is stuck in its belief in the literal scientific truth of economic principles originated by Adam Smith in The Wealth of Nations in 1776, and then complexified and extended by both 19th and 20th century economists. They have moved us further and further into abstraction, keeping us on a path that is further and further from ecological reality. Faith in neoliberal economics is equivalent to the belief in the literal truth of biblical scripture. But as modern people, we see ourselves as seeing economic theory and its manifestation in global capitalism as scientific as well as moral. But why is it that we think that ideas from the 18th and 19th century are the perfect and ordering principles for managing the world of the 21st century? Partly it is that capitalism and its dream of never-ending progress, which we've heard a lot about this weekend, is impelled by the engine of technological advance that's getting us somewhere. This mythic belief in technological progress is the great wonder ingredient of the economy leading us to an ever-brightest future has blinded us. As cultural historian Thomas Berry has said, however rational modern economics might be, the driving force of economics is not rational, but visionary. A visionary commitment supported by myth and a sense of having the magical powers of science to overcome any difficulty encountered from natural forces. Now, since the onset of the industrial age, a material Eden has regularly been announced to be just around the corner. With just a little bit more wealth, certainly more technology, you know, as we've chased this phantasm, every new generation has seen it move just a few decades further on. This has been going on since the very beginning. In fact, Adam Smith himself was in awe at the burst of progress and the sudden material improvements that he saw in the mid-18th century. And he saw a grand, unifying explanation. We call that a natural philosophy or a cosmology to explain this. And his idea of the human as an atomistic, independent economic actor acting rationally and responding to economic stimuli like a billiard ball directed miraculously by the cue stick held by this invisible hand of a godlike player, it fit to this Newtonian ideal of an ordered and understandable universe. This is the so-called homo economicus, driven solely by individual self-interest, which remains the cornerstone of the capitalist system. And it is the exemplar of the libertarian techno-fantasy that drives the Silicon Valley ethos of the uber entrepreneur. But the truth is, as we now know from our new understanding of science, is that we are all interconnected in a 13.8 billion year evolutionary process. All of us. In this context, this extremely short era of modern industrial society is but a blip. It is quite hubristic to imagine that the point of this whole cosmological process since the beginning of time is to create a planet full of intelligent life dedicated to creating a global marketplace so that we can, say, order disposable diapers at any time, anywhere from our smartphones. When Mrs. Thatcher declared that there is, quote, no alternative, unquote, to capitalism and neoliberal economic model for the entire planet, I say, the lady doth protest too much, methinks. While rejecting this triumphalist view, it is also clear that capitalism can't simply be replaced, like upgrading our iPhone. We need a completely new way of organizing our economy. A shift to a post-growth, society based on ecological principles. This implies a radical break from our current system. And this change will be as great as that experience when humanity transitioned from hunter-gatherer groups to settled agriculture 12,000 years ago, or from that long span of early civilizations, the first puffs of steam that signaled the Industrial Revolution. So we must enter the post-growth era, the post-capitalist era of humanity, and not this illusory utopian fantasy that has persisted based on extreme technology freeing us from the limits of the earth and nature's laws. But radical does not mean a sudden and immediate shift of everyone and all systems to a new way of being. Remember that the agricultural industrial revolutions were processes that took centuries and occurred in various places at various times. In fact, to some extent, they're still going on as we speak. There are intact hunter-gatherer and pre-industrial societies even today. These revolutions also did not come from top-down decrees, but with local changes, strange attractors that brought about cascading change throughout the complexity of human society. But there is also a key difference. Hunter-gatherers were not destroying the planet with their way of life, even if they were perhaps committing to the next one. And agricultural settlers, when they arrived, were not destroying the planet, even if they were responsible for massive environmental degradation and human suffering. But modern civilization is. It's killing us. And we can't expect the system to fix itself. We have to replace it with something new while it is still intact. This brings you back to Bay Bridge. In San Francisco, where I teach, nature said the bridge was going to collapse. We couldn't just keep on doing what we were doing. But people still needed to cross the bay. So, a new one had to be built, but based on a better understanding of the need for resiliency and responsiveness with nature. So, a new one was built right next to the old one, and people were transitioned over. And as we speak, the old one is being dismantled, not by blowing it up, but by looking back at how it was built and methodically reversing the process. In the same way, we must build our bridge to a new economy based on sound ecological principles so that people continue to live and work and eat and raise their children while we bring us all the future we want. At the same time, we can and must dismantle the existing capitalist system methodically by reversing the process, by understanding how it was installed and then taking it apart. I'm sure that you're asking, what does this new economic system look like? People often ask me for the answer, as if it can fit on a bumper sticker. If it isn't capitalism, is it socialism? But we can't just be replacing the old ism with a new ism. Mm-hmm. The time for monolithic solutions is over. Creating a rigid new ideology and a limiting philosophy will only lead to more monocultures. What we do know is what doesn't work for today's system and what does work in the natural world. And real economies are as diverse and different as the people and cultures that they support. Principles of ecology, when applied to the human economy, imply diversity with limiting constraints. Putting ecological principles first will always lead to the right decisions for the Earth community. We can't know exactly what this new ecologically based economic system will look like. As ecological economists, we can set out some parameters and principles, but it remains a work in progress. And that is a good thing because the Earth remains a work in progress. Within the field of ecological economics, the starting point is the Earth, with all of its biosystems. And we then treat the human economy as simply another subsystem. This means putting the Earth first and the economy secondary. In mainstream economics, the focus is on the allocation of scarce resources by market signals. The Earth is just an inert source of those resources. And occasionally, though not nearly enough, progressive economists focus on fairness or income and wealth inequality. But there are absolutely no mechanisms to deal with the massive scale of the global economy and the havoc it wreaks
by its sheer size and the endless growth imperative of the capitalist model. I know some of our other speakers this afternoon will be speaking about the need for some of the specifics of how we can create a steady-state economy, or perhaps even a degrowth economy, one of this in dynamic homeostasis. But it's equally critical in creating this new ecological economic system is to change our values and our worldview. So instead of privileging the market over all other societal values, we privilege the community. The idea that economic values trump all other societal values has to be eliminated. This means increasing the domain of community interest and reducing the domain of individual self-interest. Precision and quantification itself need to become less important, and our decisions need to be based on a greater mix of non-economic values. Ecological economics does not mean simply creating better models with equations that give us better results. While it does provide a analytical framework that helps us determine the appropriate boundaries for regulatory regimes and incentives, ecological economics gives us to support the society we want needs to become a tool to work quietly in the background rather than dominating our collective consciousness the way commerce and economic activity do today. The late great systems thinker, Vannella Meadows, said one of the most powerful ways to change the system was to find leverage points, to shift paradigms, the mindset and values out of which its system, the goals, structures, rules, delays, parameters, arises. Changing our overall mindset to understand that technology will not be bailing us out this time, that the neoliberal capitalism has to go, and there is a viable alternative is critical. So where is our leverage point to change the sinking vis-a-vis economics? Modern neoliberal society believes in the paradigm of Adam Smith's invisible hand and the magic of the market. To navigate this change, our economic mind must shift from the paradigm of atomistic, independent, homo economicus, driven solely by self-interest, to the human as an active participant in the Earth's ecosystem, who recognizes the interdependence and interconnectedness of all life. When we then see that there is no such thing as an autonomous individual, but rather a living, breathing human animal embedded in their local community, part of a bioregion, and connected in multiple ways to everyone and everything on Earth, then the simple-minded abstractions of the neoliberal trance can fall away. This becomes the key organizing principle for looking at how we understand economics in this new phase of humanity. California condos, redwood trees, indigenous communities then become not just simply variables to be plugged into an equation, they can then be subtracted with a click of a mouse to maximize returns for a transnational corporation. Our new hybrid ecological economic model reflects life as it is really lived. So we are the bridge builders as well as the dismantlers. And here's the good news. The bell rings for good news. When the hunter-gatherers accept this new civilization, we have no archaeological evidence that they held teach-ins to decide what to do. At the onset of the Industrial Revolution, we know there have been movements to stop the disruption of technology, but not in the context of creating positive alternatives. But here we are today. We are at a point in the human story where we can and must do the work to take apart the old economic system, to create a new one that works for all. Thank you all for being part